with Declan Meehan. East Coast FM. Now we come to the, I suppose, post-indulgence period. Yes, we've eaten all those chocolate pickies, at least I have, and chocolate cake and all sorts of things. And now we've got to get back on the straight and narrow and think up good intentions in order to have good, wholesome food for the new us in 2024. But how to achieve it? And still give yourself a bit of a treat now and again. Let's talk to Orla Walsh, a dietitian. Hello to you, Orla.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning to you. Do you practice what you preach?
I do indeed, yeah. No, I do. I would feel like a bit of a con if I didn't.
Right, okay. Well, good to talk to you then about it. I mean, we do tend to, inverted commas, have a good time around Christmas.
Yeah, we do. And it's not around Christmas. It's probably from the end of November until about now. And I'm sure a lot of listeners would agree with that statement. But I guess what's important to focus on is what you eat between Christmases, not necessarily just the lead up. And also how you want to adapt your eating this year. And I think it's been made complicated when it doesn't have to be. And I think people think that they need to overhaul everything, which they don't have to do. So I suppose the role of the dietitian is to make sure that people don't run off and do fads at this time of year, and also go back to the basics and know what they are.
Okay, so what are the basics then?
Yeah, so I suppose the first thing to consider is why you're doing it. And I know that sounds, it might sound like a very basic thing, but when you actually go into the why, you understand your true motivation or motivations. And that will change month to month. They might even change day to day. But it is good to check in with yourself and truly understand the why. And then the how. So I'm holding a webinar on the 8th, and we are actually just going to be discussing how to lose weight in a safer way during that. And the reason why I'm holding it is because what I want to move people away from is fads towards the science. And the how is actually quite easy to understand, but it's harder to implement. And so what you need is a calorie deficit. But for most people, they don't need to count calories. What I try and do is I do a layered approach. Think of it nearly like an onion. And what we're trying to do is easiest thing for that person to do straight off the bat. And not overcomplicate it, not do too many things, but maybe even do one thing at a time and see what sort of difference it makes. Go for the lowest hanging fruit, if you will. And it can be so simple. For example, research shows that people who had 500 mils, so half, kind of a pint of water, 30 minutes before breakfast, lunch and dinner, and they did that for a few weeks, they lost weight each week.
Come on, how does that happen?
For a multitude of reasons, but, you know, it can just be a case of the person goes into the meal better hydrated. And if you're better hydrated, you can think better. And I suppose you've been eating more mindfully then as well. It probably just has a multitude of knock-on effects. But there is evidence-based things that you can do that lead to weight loss where it doesn't focus on deprivation. In fact, it doesn't even focus on excluding food. It focuses on including. Another cool one was that before a meal, generally before dinner, people either had a soup or they had a salad, or I adapted to kind of having a crunchy fruit or a crunchy vegetable. And you have that before you eat. And despite adding in something, so in focusing in including into your diet rather than excluding, people ended up eating less, around 130 calories less. And that might not sound all that much, but it adds up. And, you know, the majority of diets fail. And why do they? Because they're just too difficult to carry on. They're asking too much of the person, either physically, mentally, or socially. And when you're trying to lose weight and keep it off, you need a sustainable approach. And what I mean by that is you need to do something that you're like, this is easy enough to carry on, at least for a little while, but hopefully in the long haul.
I mean, is it simple? Is it the less you put into your body, the less overweight you will be?
Yes and no, because there's plenty of people out there that are on calorie-restricted diets and aren't losing weight, and they're wondering why. Now, you do need a calorie deficit in order to lose weight, but I suppose what we need to focus on is body composition. You want to lose fat, and you want to maintain your muscle. And that's a bigger challenge, and it's a bit more complex. And you can do that actually without a calorie deficit. So although, you know, nutrition is a science and science is complicated, it's my job to kind of go, okay, here's the research and, you know, what does that mean in real terms? So for those listening, what it means is if you eat in such a way that maintains your muscle or even supports it, or even better yet, builds it, your muscle mass can build and your fat mass can come down, even if there's no deficit. But it, obviously the body fat will come down faster if there's a little bit of a deficit. But if there's too much of a deficit, you're actually going to lose muscle as well. The problem with losing muscle is that muscle is the machine of the metabolism. So if you lose muscle mass and you're losing the machine of the metabolism, it's going to be harder to keep that weight off. Plus, it's not going to be as healthy because you want to lose the excess fat. You don't want to lose that muscle that makes it strong and is associated with longevity and living well. So I guess there's a couple of things you need to make sure that your diet prioritizes protein and that they're getting enough protein at meals. You might want to consider doing strength exercise. It's probably the one thing, if I had a magic wand, I'd make everyone do 2 to 3 times a week. But another big one is sleep, because if you're not getting enough sleep when you lose weight, you're going to lose a lot of muscle mass, and that will be counterproductive as well.
I've heard things like, you know, people who've gone on these